Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Great story out of Arizona sent to me by a couple of people involving civil forfeiture. Once in a while, the courts get it right. We need one of these cases to get to the U.S. Supreme Court. We need the U.S. Supreme Court to get it right. But right now, we'll take this. Appeals court rules in favor of Pair challenging Arizona civil forfeiture as unconstitutional. Perry Vandal wrote it for the Arizona Republic, published on azcentral.com. Jason and Eric sent it. Thanks a lot. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on Monday that a Washington couple whose car was seized by Arizona law enforcement in 2016 can continue pursuing their lawsuit against the government, alleging it infringed on their constitutional rights. The couple had loaned their 2012 Volkswagen to their son in the spring of 2016 for him to take on vacation. He was driving from the East Coast back to Washington on I-40 when an Arizona Department of Public Safety trooper spotted him and suggested that he might have had windows tinted too darkly. So he's pulled over for having tinted windows. Now, members of the Navajo County Drug Task Force had a canine unit search his car and found a small amount of marijuana, and they said it was for personal use, and $31,000 in cash, according to court documents. Law enforcement seized the vehicle and the money on suspicion they were being used or planned to be used for illegal purposes. So here we're saying not that the money in the car had been used for illegal purposes or that they're a fruit of crime, but they could be used. There might be plans to use them. We're now enforcing laws in the future. Isn't that great? So the seizure is part of a practice known across the country, civil asset forfeiture, as you would know from me talking about it as I do. And in many states, if government officials think property is connected to crime, they can take it. Crimes that have been committed and apparently crimes that could be committed in the future. Several states, including Arizona, have recently reformed their civil forfeiture laws to make it more difficult for law enforcement agencies to seize and keep property without a criminal conviction. With this ruling, though, the couple here can proceed with their lawsuit, alleging that their constitutional rights were violated when they attempted to get their car back. The Institute for Justice, doing good work on this as always, agreed to take the couple's case pro bono for free. Paul Avalar, a managing attorney for the organization's Arizona office, told the Arizona Republic that the state's civil forfeiture system was designed to make getting one's property back after it had been seized nearly impossible without experienced attorneys helping you. And the couple here could not afford attorneys before the Institute for Justice took on the case. It's kind of like a kid with his hand caught in the cookie jar. It wants to pretend that it gives a cookie back. Nothing more can be done. But we have the right to have our rights be secured, and the courts are the part of the government that we go to when our rights have been violated. And it always sounds funny to me when the attorneys have to explain this stuff like they're talking to a fifth grader, like they're talking to a kindergartner. Like, you know, people have rights, and they own stuff. And if you take their stuff, that's theft. And these are attorneys explaining what police do. And so Avalar said the unconstitutionality of this stems from the Navajo County's attorney's office deciding the Platt's petition didn't meet the necessary qualifications and telling the court as such without having to show the documents or explain how they were incorrect. So you ask for your stuff back and just go, no. See you in court. What the court recognized in this ruling was that the Arizona statutes in place at the time set up this weird loophole where the prosecutor, whose very agency is going to profit from the forfeiture of your car, was allowed to rule, essentially unchallenged, was allowed to rule on whether or not you met all the qualifications to try and get your car back. And as you might imagine, letting someone make that important decision when they have this big financial incentive is a big no-no under the Constitution. It's a conflict of interest. You don't ever let somebody make the decision that's going to benefit them about somebody else's stuff. Avalar said Institute for Justice is pursuing a nominal payment of $1 as it attempts to have the Navajo County Attorney's Office admit the action was unconstitutional. Avalar said he does not expect the government to appeal the Ninth Circuit's decision and said the case will likely be remanded back to Arizona District Court or the county superior court. Of course, they could appeal it and take it to the U.S. Supreme Court and see what they say. The Ninth Circuit's opinion came several months after Arizona had reformed its civil forfeiture laws, making it much more difficult for the government to keep stuff without a criminal conviction. The reform requires the government to return the property to its owner within 10 business days unless it meets certain conditions, such as the property is being held as evidence or was illegal for the owner to possess. Are you allowed to own money? Yes. So they can't make that argument with cash. It also barred law enforcement from coercing people into signing waiver forms, documents that, when signed by the owner, indicate the property in question isn't theirs, and threatening to lock them up if they refused. And that was something we heard about in several different jurisdictions, where the police had been to this rodeo more than once, shall we say. And they knew that if they took too much stuff from somebody, that person might wise up in the morning under the broad light of day and go, you know, I should get an attorney. Go get my stuff back. So what they would often do is at the roadside, as they're rifling your stuff and taking it, they pull out a piece of paper and they go, you know something, sign this paper right here that says that this stuff isn't yours and therefore we can't tie it to you. We won't prosecute you for any crimes. Of course, you can't have your stuff back because you just signed a piece of paper saying it's not yours. So you can't have someone else's stuff back. And there's variations on that, but the implication is that the overarching image you get from that is sign these papers, kiss your stuff goodbye, you walk away from it, we'll walk away from it. And that's the end of it. And that would be very, very wrong to do that, especially when you consider that that's basically coercion being done at the side of the road, figuratively speaking. It could be done at the station, but my point simply is that if you're doing that without having time to reflect and to consult an attorney, it's not really fair. So in this case, the couple lent their car to their son. He took it on vacation, was driving cross country, was stopped for tinted windows. And they wound up seizing his cash and the car, and no mention of the small amount of marijuana, which makes me wonder if they did anything about that. Because as you unpack this story in 2016, that might have been the only law being broken here because no mention is made of those tinted windows from that point forward either. So a bunch of problems. I've mentioned a long time ago, though, that sadly, these cases involving cars used during crimes have been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. And there's a famous case out of Michigan, and I did a whole video on this, about a man who was alleged to have taken a car and gone driving through a bad part of town looking to meet women. And they argued that what he was doing was actually beyond the scope of what was allowable by law. I'm trying really hard not to get this video demonetized. And he was arrested, and the word solicit was in the charge. And when they arrested him, they seized his car. And they said, well, you were using your car to commit a crime because you were sitting in it when you were talking to that nice undercover cop over there. And they seized the car. And his wife, the man's wife, who was not the undercover cop, but just work with me here. The wife said, but the car is half mine. And I believe the car is titled to both of them. So she brought a claim and said, you can't seize a car that's half mine because my husband used it without my knowledge or permission. And the court said, too bad. And the implication was that if someone's using something of yours and they commit a crime with it, you can lose it. Well, they can lose it too, but it's not theirs. But you can lose it. And that's been upheld by the courts. But there, at least they can make the distinction and say, yes, but the guy, presumably, did commit a crime. And the situation with the son driving cross-country in the vehicle with tinted windows, what is his crime? Oh, he had $31,000 cash on him that could be used in a future crime. Future illegal purposes. That, my friends, is crazy. So the Court of Appeals got this one right. It's the Ninth Circuit. A lot of people like to make fun of the Ninth Circuit and say the Ninth Circuit gets stuff wrong. I'm not going to get into that right now because I like to look at this on a case-by-case basis. They got this one right. So let's celebrate one they got right. How's that? So appeals court rules in favor of Perry, challenging Arizona civil forfeitures unconstitutional. Perry Vandell wrote it for azcentral.com, the Arizona Republic. And Jason and Eric both sent it. Thanks a lot, guys. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I like to reminisce with people I don't know.